Well, let's take our Bibles, if we would. I want to start off over here in Numbers. Book of Numbers, chapter 25, and verse 6. Last time we looked at about being angry and sinning not, and how the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we looked at King David and different ones who became angry with sin and that they did something about it. They didn't just sit there and just get angry. They took their anger, not in a sinful way, but went out and did righteousness. In other words, they did what God laid upon their heart. We're going to look at one other fellow this day in that same perspective, but we want to see what it takes, and we'll look at several people and things that that happened when they won the victory for the Lord. In Numbers chapter 25, I'm going to be reading. Excuse me, I lost my place. Begin reading in verse 6. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to start to read the whole chapter. It said, "And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people into the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself to Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel." How soon do people forget? "And the Lord said unto Moses," he said, "take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor." There's a consequence. There's always a consequence of sin. The wages of sin is death. And I'm going to tell you, even for the child of God, there's wages for sin, and sometimes it's physical death. We know that we, as a child of God, we can't be unborn. We do not lose eternal life, but there is judgment. And the Bible said a lot of people were asleep, a lot of them were sick because they were indulging in sin. That was during the time when the Apostle Paul was setting up the churches, and a lot of the churches, there was sickness in some of the churches and death because of their sins that they kept on in their willfulness and sin. It says, "And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." You know what that would be like? That'd be like you'd have a revival here, you know? Like he was having a revival meeting here, and God was moving, and people was dealing with their sin. They was mourning for their sin, and you went out there to the honky tonk and drug some old gal in here about half naked, you know, and about half drunk, you know, and you know, you and her. That'd be about the same kind of thing that was going on right here. Yeah, and definitely not appropriate. Well, it said that Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it. And he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. There's something about when people have righteous indignation and rebuke sin. The Bible says rebuke before all, that all might fear. If there's sin, if there's sin in the camp, if there's sin in the house, and it's open sin, just like this man's sin was. It was open before the whole congregation, before Moses. And the Bible says, rebuke before all, that all might fear. Me and my son-in-law was talking this past week and about some of the things that's happened over the years that we've seen. And some stuff that's even going on right now, that there's people doing investigations still among independent Baptist churches. And there's some things that's been coming out about different churches of same kind of mess is happening in the Catholic churches, is happening, and it's coming out now. And it was swept under the rug. And the good old boys, you know what I mean, was taking people they was having a problem with and shipping them other places. For it just to happen all over again. But the Bible says, rebuke before all and all might fear. Sin must be exposed. There's got to be an accounting. If there's somebody in the church that's in open sin, you can't just sweep it under the rug and act like it just didn't happen. It's got to be dealt with. It must be dealt with. You can't just let it go on, like I said, and sweep it under the rug, or you know what I mean. And that's happened to the point that it's corrupting, and it's corrupting our churches. And God said right here, though, here was a fella. He was angry and jealous for the Lord that this man would bring in this woman who was causing the people of Israel to turn and go after other gods. You know, like Bud Stupid and Sitz Brewing Company or whatever kind of sin, you know, the world is partaking in. And it doesn't matter what it is, it's what do you put before God for it to be another God. And we need to be careful that we don't have people in the church living in open sin that's drawing people away into this sin. Well, so-and-so's doing it. You know, I heard somebody say that within a week or so ago. I think it was a preacher said, well, you know, everybody's doing it. My children never did. I can't remember them saying something like that. You know, or everybody's going, Dad. If they did, the only thing I would have said is, well, not everybody's going. Because you ain't going. Not everybody's doing it. Because you ain't going to do it not in front of me. So, you know, so everybody ain't doing it. I said, I ain't doing it. Your mama ain't doing it. I said, and we can keep you from it. You ain't doing it either. And so, but this man, he becomes zealous for the Lord. And notice what happened. Because he did that, he saved many alive. Because God's anger and wrath had already begun to fall there amongst his people. It says that, it tells how many were killed. He thrust in the womb. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel, and those that died in the plague were 24,000 people. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel while he was zealous for my sake. among them. And I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace. And he shall have it in his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for God and made atonement for the children of Israel. God said, because this man was jealous and zealous for God, that he earned to himself an everlasting blessing of God. And he saved some lives of the people of God. That sometime, hey, we need to get it in our head that to win this victory, that it doesn't make no difference what all the brethren are going after, what all the brethren are doing. They might, you know, it might be all kinds of sin, you know, coming in into the church or whatever, and you might hear about this or hear about that. Hey, you want to earn the blessing of God, be zealous for him, and make a difference, say, well, I'm not going with him. I don't know. Y'all remember old Brother Ed Blue preaching that sermon? He got there and he must have said that about four or five times. Said, I ain't going with him. I ain't going with them. Hey, all the churches might turn away. Hey, everyone in this building could turn away from the King James Bible, but by the grace of God, you need to say in your heart, I ain't going with them.
Amen. 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 Amen.
You know? Everyone in this church might say, well, it's okay. Well, you know, well, you have women pastors. You know, but I ain't going with them. It might be all kinds of liberal ideas that's slipping into the church, but we need to make up our mind, you know, we're going to be zealous like Phinehas, and we're going to stay with what God has said. Now, he saved many alive, and he earned himself an everlasting blessing from God. Now, take your Bibles now, and turn to Judges chapter 7. We'll look at this fellow Gideon a little bit more. It says, then Rubaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore, go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, say, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there return of the people 22,000, there remain 10,000. Brother George, I doubt very seriously there have been too many people going into a battle somewhere and saying, well, we got too many people with us. You wanted as many wishes as you could get, didn't you?
Right.
Yeah, you know why? Because you was fighting it on your own terms.
That's right.
You was fighting a fight that it was a man-made fight. It was a man's fight.
Waiting on that chopper to bring in that other company. That's what you
yeah, exactly. Yeah, because you didn't want to go out there, you know. You wanted all the strength you can get. But here, this fight is not a man's fight. This fight is a fight of God. God was trying to get the people to see who their deliverer really was. Who that they needed to be trusted. And not in their own flesh. So he said, there's too many of you. They was probably, according to what you read this Bible, there was probably already like 20 times more to Midianites than there was them. But God said, you know, if they get the victory here, they'll say that, you know, we done it.
Yeah.
Now, we whooped the far out of them, you know. God wants to get this down till they know that God has given them the victory. And what we ought to learn from this is, God ain't looking for numbers. God's looking for people who are really want to be used of God in the fight. See, this crowd, he said, how many of you would like to go home? There'd been a lot of people probably was, you know, in war. And if he said, hey, would y'all like to go home today? Yeah, we had some of them that said, no, I'm not ready to go home. This thing ain't won yet. When the battle's finished, when we've won the victory, then I'll go home. But there have been a bunch of them that said, I'm ready, I'll go. Huh? Right? And he did a separation here, and the majority of them would say, ready to go home. But there were 10,000 that said, no, I'm not afraid, I'm ready to go fight. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down to the water. And I will try them. He will give them a test. For thee there, and it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And whosoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people, and we know the story, and the water, and the Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth him, shall thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. So there was one crowd that went down there, and they got down on their knees. And get the picture here. And they was down here going. They couldn't see what was going on. Then there was that other crowd, and they were going on like here, like. Had their head up. Their heart and mind was in the fight. That other heart and mind was in getting a drink of water. They was down there satisfied themselves with that good water. Nothing wrong with that. But God showed a difference between one and the other. And when he got done, we know the story. It was what? Oh my goodness, we're going up against thousands of thousands, tens of thousands of Midianites and all this bunch out there. And the Bible said, man, the camels was as the sands of the sea. I mean, they were everywhere on the ground. It says like a plague of locusts. And they only had 10,000. And now they're down to 300 people. 300 people. And it didn't say any of them wanted to go back. It said, us 300? Just us 300? No. There must have been something in that crowd that says, hey, if this is what God said, this is what we're going to do. This is the way it's going to be done. If they tried to do it another way, guess what would have happened? They got whoops. Because the battle wasn't theirs. The battle was the Lord's. It says, and so after they had separated the people here, and it came to pass that, so the people took victuals in their hands, And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300, in verse 7, men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the up people go every man unto his place. The Lord said, I am going to deliver them into your hand, as one man. You got 300 there. It's the same. It could have just been Gideon. But he needed, God wanted some witnesses, I believe. You know, God didn't, to win this battle, God didn't need any of them. But he wanted some witnesses of what he was going to do.
Amen.
That's what we're to be. We're to be God's witnesses of the things that he does. I was thinking this past week, and I told you I've been working with this Jehovah's Witness. But the thing that I was thinking about this week is, what have you witnessed? And I'm sitting there thinking, when I get the opportunity, I'm gonna ask that Jehovah's Witness, because I've asked others before, what is it that you are a witness of? What is it that you have seen God do that you are witnessing to other people about? I said, I've got the same witness as my apostle, Paul. I was going on my own merry way, doing my own thing. And the Lord Jesus Christ approached me, blind and lame. You remember when you saw the light? God cut the light on in your life?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
And you became a witness of something. I was there when it took place. I know what God has done in my life. And I think God wanted some witnesses here. And it says right here, and he goes on, he says, and so the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of it, so every man into his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down into the host, for I will deliver it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Pharaoh, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shalt thine hands be strengthened to go down into the host. Then went he down with Pharaoh, his servant, into the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number, as the sand of the sea for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream. Lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, came unto a tent, smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay alone. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else. Now, how did they know this? You know who this is speaking, don't you? This is God speaking through them. So God, this is none other, answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for unto his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the hosts. The only way he knew that, it was God knew that, and he spoke that through this Midianite. And so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and interpretation thereof, he worshipped, returned to the host of Israel, and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And we know he divided the host into three companies, put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps upon the pitchers. And he said to them, look on me, do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do. And when I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp. And say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And so Gideon and 100 men that were with him came to the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets, break the pitchers that were in their hand, and the three companies blew the trumpets, break the pitchers, held the lamps in their left hands, and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal, and they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, till all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew of the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshittah in Zererath, and to the border of Abel-Meholah unto Tabith, and the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout Mount Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters from Bethbara and Jordan." Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together, took the waters, Bethbara and Jordan, and they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock. And Oreb and Zeeb they slew at the winepress of Zeeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon on the other side Jordan. The message I think that God would have us to say, we was talking the other day about how our country is going to the devil. And sometimes it looks like, what can we do? You know, what can we do against this host? This wicked host that's in this country, what can we do? We know how the Lord came and sought out Gideon and told him, and said, "Thou, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor." And then he took Gideon as one man with 300 men and overcome the enemy. What's the stop? What's the difference today? Why is it that we feel like, well, what's the use? What can we do? We can do the same thing that Gideon did.
That's right. Right.
We can order the battle. He didn't feel like he could do it either. But God spoke the word unto him. The Bible has told us simply, we've been given one job, and that is to preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to every creature. And leave the salvation up to the Lord. So there is no reason we can't get the job done for God. There's no reason that we can't overcome the enemy. The Bible says that we are to tear down strongholds. And we can, in the Lord, in His power. We just, to God, be faithful to do what He says. We got to kick out this attitude or this idea, you know, when nobody else wants to do it, it don't make no difference. Hey, He didn't need a big host. God didn't need a big host. He needed a small group of men who would bind themselves together, just like we got a small band of men that goes out every Thursday night, and every Thursday night, God tears down a stronghold. And tears down a stronghold. And tears down a stronghold. And, you know, we got to keep that in our hearts and minds and thoughts that we're going to be obedient and keep doing what God says, because it doesn't matter if you got a great host with you or a small, because God is able to deliver, and it don't have nothing to do with how many men or how many people are on your side or with you, because we saw how Phinehas went out in the camp. Him, one man, turned the tide, stopped the plague by a swell. see here how a man named Gideon went out against a host of people, so many that the camel that said was as the sand in the sea. Well, you know there were more people than there was camels. Because, I mean, that was a host. That was a big crowd. Only 300 of them. Hey, you know, we could start doing that what's right and begin to pray. You know, God could turn, hey, the swords of our enemy against themselves. Hey, we already see the Democrats and the Republicans are always fighting with each other. Hey, maybe they might just turn in on themselves, hey, and just leave an open hole for God to come in and do something up there in that wicked city of Washington, D.C., or up there in this wicked city of Raleigh, North Carolina, and make a difference for people, hey, who want to do what's right for God. You don't need a great number. God can do the fighting for us.
Amen.
He can turn the whole tide. He can turn that river any way he wants to. It doesn't take a great number. We see that with this right here in the book of Judges. This was left us to look at and remember what God was able to do with just a few people that were willing to do it God's way. I still believe that God's way is house by house, door by door, person by person, as a witness, one soul to another. Just staying at it. And why are you going down through there, going from one soul to another? Get you a handful of seed and throw it out everywhere you go.
Amen.
Huh? That's what them gospel tracts are for. God's word ain't gonna return void. If you give out 100,000 tracts in a year, what's it gonna accomplish? If you give out 10, ten ain't gonna return void. So the more you sow, huh? If you want a big crop, you got to sow big, huh? Just do what God said. Do it God's way all the time. Get you a picture. Get you a lamp. Get you a trumpet, you know? Break the picture. Shine the light. Blow the trumpet. And cry aloud and spare not. What the Lord said. Just keep doing it the same way. All the way down to the end. And God will give the victory as he did right here. Now, I want you to look over at 8:4. 8:4. This is what happens. Excuse me. That's what happens a lot of times to God's people. And it says, And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing. Faint yet pursuing them. Now look, you can get faint, but don't grow weary in well doing. They were doing a job for God. They had to finish the battle. Amen. They had to finish the battle. Hey, it wasn't over yet. They said they were faint, but pursuing them. And he said unto the men of Succoth, "Give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint. And I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian." And the prince of the Succoth said, "Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread into thine army?" Now what kind of outfit is that? Huh? Hey, look, you ain't going to get everybody to support you. You can talk about what God's doing. You can talk about the battle you're fighting and try to get help, you know what I mean? But not everybody's going to support you. They were brethren. But they wouldn't support him. Wouldn't give them no bread. Wouldn't supply them even though they were hungry and they were faint. And Gideon said, "Therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into mine hand, then will I tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars, and went up thence to Penuel, and spake unto them. And the men of Penuel answered them as the men of Succoth had answered him. And he spake unto them of Penuel, saying, when I come again in peace, I will break down this tower. And Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and their host with them, about 15,000 men, and all that were left of the host of the children of the east, for they fell 120,000 that drew sword. And Gideon went up by the way of them that dwelt in tents on the east of Nobah and Jogbehah, and smote the host, for the host was secured. And when Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them, took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, discomfited all the host. And Gideon, we got 600 people now, still 15,000 men in front of them. And he whooped them. Well, you know they didn't do that. God whooped them for them. If God be for you, who can be against you?
Amen.
If God be for you, who can be against you? It doesn't matter. Let them rant and rave. Let them threaten. Just do what God says. Or they took old Paul and beat him in silence and beat them, threw them in the presence, and at night, God shook the doors off their hinges. Now, you know that was God because, man, that boy in jail come running down there and said, oh, no, everybody done escaped was going to fall on his sword. Now, let me tell you, you go down here to the high-rise prison, shake all the doors open, and let you reckon they're going to hang around? They're going to be gone. Well, they were still there. He said, we're all here. And all those men was in there listening to Paul and Silas as he laid out the gospel to them. The Bible says, and all the doors were open. I don't know. I'm just crazy. I think that whole crowd got saved. I really do.
Amen.
They didn't leave. They stayed to hear the gospel. What's the worst that could happen to us? They throw us in prison. Like I said, many a time, we got a captive audience. God is able to deliver whether he puts us, whether we're in prison, whether we've been arrested. If we'll just stand and do what God tells us to do, and God can make a difference. Hey, it's okay. This world might say you can't do some things. They tell school teachers, well, you can't pray with students. You can't tell them about Jesus. Well, my wife's been doing it ever since she's been a school teacher. I said, honey, you better be careful. She said, it's all in God's hands. Lord, open the door for me to talk to them about the Lord. I'm going to talk to them. And God has many, many times opened that door. And she proclaimed to them children and let them. Sometimes it's them saying, I never forget. This one kid said, you mean to say Jesus is real? The other kid said, of course he's real. I said, he's my Savior. You know? Huh? You'd be surprised. And you give youngers an opportunity. They'll speak out for the Lord. And praise God, my wife's class, she never told me, oh, you can't talk about that here. She's like, you know, sick 'em. Yeah, well, winning the victory. Well, you know, what we need to learn from this is whether we faint or not, whether we're tired or not, it's not time to stop. God's going to give the victory. And if we wait upon the Lord, hey, we'll mount up with wings of eagles. He'll renew our strength. And we find right here that when none of the brethren were willing to support them, well, praise God, they still overcome. Look over here, but hey, we need to remember something. After we won a victory or two, we got to be careful not to do like Gideon did. Gideon, they asked him. He said, "You know, what would you have?" And he asked for the earrings of all those Midianites. And the Bible said he made an ephod of it. And this thing became a snare unto him and his house. And it did. We find his house later being murdered. Why? Because they didn't wholly follow the Lord. Next thing you know, he said, Israel went a whoring after that ephod. Rather than worshiping the way God said, now they begin to worship the way they wanted. They begin to do it their way. Oh yeah, they were calling on the name of the Lord, but not the way the Lord told them to. They wasn't going up to Jerusalem. They wasn't going up where he told them to come and worship. Instead, they were going to that place that he set up. It's not for us to set up, you know, God's will and God's way. It's for God to do this. And I'm afraid there's so many people, even after God's given them the victory, even after they've gotten saved, even after they've been serving God for a while, if they ain't careful, they'll turn back and start to do things their way. Then, there was another fellow. Now, I want to say, one of the things I want to say, it doesn't take a great number. If one fellow do something for God, there's going to be blessings, and it's going to save lives. And it doesn't matter how many you got to win the battle. It's not in numbers. We don't need a host. We just need to be obedient to God. God will give us the strength when we grow weary if we'll just wait upon Him. Don't be snared with your success as Gideon became snared by his success, set up an ephod the way he did, or began to do things the way you want to because you feel like, well, you know, and God's blessed me, and boy, you know, I got this thing under control. I got an understanding. I think that's a little bit kind of what's happened sometime in the success of people's ministries, and then they begin to fall into pride. So you got to be careful of that. Get a big work, a big church, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're somebody. No, we're all a bunch of little nobodies with a great somebody that's helping us and encouraging us. And he can make somebody out of us. It's up for him to promote, not ourselves. We don't promote ourselves. The Lord will promote us. And I think for most time, it's going to be after we get that new glorified body where we can handle it. You know, until then, he's got to keep us humbled. And finally, now, it doesn't matter if the brethren approve of you or not. Man, look in Judges chapter 11. Judges chapter 11, it says, now Jephthah the Gileadite, he was a mighty man of valor. He was a son of a harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they threw out Jephthah, and said to him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. And Jephthah fled from his brethren, and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah, and went out with him. And it came to pass, in the process of time, that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. It was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. Now, he wasn't good enough to inherit with them, but he was good enough to fight their battles. He might not be good enough, you know, to be in the inner circle, but you can get out there on the bus route. Clean out a toilet. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody in this building is equal. It's all level at the cross. This is as far as I'm going to get. We'll go on to think about this while you're looking out there, and maybe, you know, somebody in the church that just don't seem like he's up to snuff, or got a bad background or whatever. I don't mean that God can't use him. I come from a very dysfunctional family. God still saved me.